Shiki baba la bala 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 bala. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for divine interruptions. Shiba bumba. Is everybody okay? Yeah? We're all good? Does everybody here already know me in some form or another? Have you all listened to the podcast and stuff? Okay. Is everybody comfortable that I'm not a weirdo? Is that okay? This is a safe place, okay? It's family. You're all powerful. You're all entitled to disagree and have different opinions. Families don't all have to think the same. We're all released to work out our own salvation and our journey with God, because grace isn't forced, love isn't forced, and he doesn't force us to all think the same. How many of you noticed that Jesus doesn't show up and just tell everybody to think the same thing on the second coming or Calvinism or this and that? You know, he gives us a power, and he's not insecure. He can handle difference. He can handle it. He can handle people being powerful enough to say no to him. He's not insecure. You know, he gives people choice. He gives people power. He's not afraid to trust us with the earth. He's confident in humanity. He's confident in his sons, in his offspring, that we're going to get where he wants us to go, that there's going to be a good end to the story, that the story's going to end well. It's going to end in glory and goodness and the knowledge of the glory covering the earth. And he is patient and he is kind and he is rich in love and he is not insecure at all. But he is wild. In saying all that, he is wild. And there is a divine interruption taking place on the earth right now. There's a divine interruption happening because we've forgotten what it's all about. So he is interrupting the weather. He is interrupting the politics. He's interrupting the media. He's interrupting the natural course of history again. He's done it before in the time of Pharaoh and in the time of Moses. There was a divine interruption in the natural course of events that caused everybody to come back to what it was all about. It was about him, his story. And he caused there to be an interruption in the time of Moses. Pharaoh, let my people go. But he put his power on display in that moment in an astronomical way to make himself famous all over the earth. A deliberate God becoming famous. Jesus came as another interruption. A massive interruption in the course of human history. He was crucified before the foundation of the world. People like Enoch had already learned to go in the spirit, but God himself interrupted the course of history in the most extraordinary way, putting his body on display, which was such a shock that God would die on a cross, that he would bleed, that he would be the bleeding savior, not the triumphant king that they'd expected, that he'd come riding on a donkey. Whoa. I'm speaking in a parable right now, okay? You need to track with what I'm saying. It's like a prophetic anointing, okay? You need to track. I'm not just speaking randomness. I'm saying something really important about the world that we're in right now and about your life and about why so many things in your life are being interrupted right now. There is a divine interruption taking place right now for Horsham, for England. There is a divine interruption happening in the natural course of your life. If it feels like the rug is being pulled, it is being pulled. He is trying to shock us because the crowds followed Jesus because they wanted bread. They wanted food. They'd forgotten what it was about. Massive crowd following Jesus. And then Jesus does a divine interruption. And he says, "Eat my body." It's like a slap. Suddenly people aren't thinking about eating. They're saying, "Are you kidding me? I can't eat that." And God is coming along right now with a divine interruption to his church. He is coming as God of the rescue, but he's given us a distraction, a whack. Like in worship with people with umbrellas, God wants to distract you from your normal form of worship. He wants to distract you from the rut that you've got in. He wants to distract you from the way you've been taught to perform in his presence. He wants to distract you from being this Christian that does the charismatic two-step that was passed on from the 1960s. He wants to break in with the creativity, the frivolous, frolicking wisdom from above, which is pure and noble and ecstatic and vibrant and unpredictable. He doesn't want you to come to predictable meetings anymore. He doesn't want you to come and know what you're going to get anymore. He doesn't want you to come and have your knowledge filled up. He wants your heart filled up. He wants heart worship, and he's coming to slap the church in the face, but with brightness and color and creativity and ecstasy and vibrancy and with prophetic exclamations. Like what you just did. If you're looking in the spirit, if you're in union with him, you can see the interruption before it happens. Isaiah saw the interruption of the cross. Abraham saw his day, saw the interruption that he himself would provide the lamb. John saw the interruption of the scrolls that had been unlocked in Revelation. He went into the future and saw the interruptions that come on the earth. Oh. Joseph saw the interruption, said, "Take my bones when you leave." He knew that there was going to be an interruption afterwards, that his bones would be taken from Egypt to Israel, to Jerusalem, and that when Jesus died on the cross and the tent was ripped, the veil was ripped, it says many, many people were resurrected. Joseph was one of them. Joseph had seen that and said, "Take my bones and plant them there." Why would he say, 400 years after I've gone, take my bones? Because he'd seen the interruption. He'd seen that God was going to interrupt the natural course of history. That he was going to crack open resurrection life in Jerusalem. It says all his saints were in the tombs, and then when Jesus came out, they came out as well. And interrupted Jerusalem. There was an interruption of heaven where there was people walking around the streets of Jerusalem that had been resurrected. Joseph was there. It's too much for us to handle because we have stripped every juicy, supernatural, mystical interruption out of the Bible. We've reduced Jesus to this wimpy, you know, hippie, when he was this guy that was like walking on the sea, glowing, levitating, bilocating, disappearing, reading people's thoughts all the time, knowing their thoughts, he spoke. When you engage with the Spirit, you begin to know people's thoughts. You begin to move in the spirit. Jesus was this absolute radical interruption in the course of history. Jesus is coming again in our generation. In our generation, while you're on the earth, as a radical interruption to the course of events in Europe and America, in global, geopolitical, social, economic, and natural events. Signs in the heavens, signs on the earth. Watch the signs in the sky. Watch the signs in the earth. Watch the interruptions that are about to take place on a governmental and geopolitical level. Now the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The prophets are just the intimate friends of God. He will do nothing before he's told someone. So tonight, I knew this interruption was coming. Because someone had to know. And even before you spoke, he'd already talked about interruptions and talked about Moses. He was just talking to me about Moses. And then you said, "Let my people go." God wants to break in on us. He is desperate to break in on us. He is desperate to make it about what he wants it about. That it's about him. It's about him. It's about him. When there was that transfiguration on the mountain and Peter was amazed and said, "Let's build tents," suddenly the voice spoke and said, "This is my son, listen to him." And then suddenly it says, all they could see was Jesus. Sometimes Jesus wants to glow and astonish until you see him. He wants to say, "Eat my body, drink my blood." Breaking in, breaking in, breaking in. God's breaking in on you because he loves you. God told me tonight to say this to you. He said, tell them I love them. Tell them I care. Tell them I am breaking in. I am interrupting right now the UK. I am interrupting the Wild Islands. I am interrupting my church to bring it back to seeing only me, that I will be seen. I will be heard. I will be listened to. I will be on display. Whoa. I will be famous. Because we've made it about our songs. We've made it about which denomination or stream we belong to. I'm for Ian Clayton. I'm for Finished Works or John Crowder. I'm for this. I'm for that. And we've forgotten what it's about. We've been taken. And even if you look at those aside with world events, we're so busy wondering how we'll survive economically. Will we be able to afford our bills? Is life not more than money? Is life not more than clothes? It says, doesn't he clothe the sparrows? Doesn't he clothe the lilies? How much time are we spending on these things? Because God's coming and he's the one that's causing the turmoil. He is the one that is shaking everything that can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken remains. We should have no fear. No fear, because he is able to superabundantly provide above and beyond. He wants to force us to the place where we live from heaven to earth. Earth is limited resources. I could dig up all the gold on earth and pile it up. It's limited. Heaven is unlimited. Heaven is the unsearchable riches of Christ. The infinite nature and glory of Christ. If we live from heaven to earth, there is no limit. There is no fear in heaven. There is no lack in heaven. Are we our provider or is he? Is he Jehovah Jireh or are you? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. He wants a courageous, fearless, powerful, transcendent generation. Transcendent. Transcending it all. Transcending time. Transcending aging. Transcending sickness. Transcending disease. The wisdom that's from below with the wisdom that's from above. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. Holy. That's an interruption. In case you thought it was about you. Holy, holy. The angels keep interrupting everything in heaven. They're like, holy, holy. It's like they can't even try and stop the words coming out. In the seconds between the holies, it's like an eternity for them. And it just builds and they can't keep it in. It's like, holy, just comes out. Whoa. Holy, 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 holy. Whoa. So get ready for massive interruptions. But don't miss him in the interruption. Don't miss God in the interruption. Major, major signs are going to happen as we go into 2013, 2013, 2012. God is going to start to shake things on a level that we've not seen before. He's going to cause awe and wonder to come. Awe and wonder is going to come. He's going to cause governments to just snap out of the stupor that they've been in. There'll be visitations of governmental leaders. There'll be governmental people that are visited by God in the night. There'll be dreams and visions. There'll be overshadowing. There'll be signs in the heavens. Whoa. You know, a couple of years ago, there was a pillar of fire over an airport in China, and they had to shut it down for days. They took all the evidence off the web. It was only there for about a week. I saw it when it was there. There were photos of a pillar of fire. Pillar of fire shut down an airport. Fancy a pillar of fire over 10 Downing Street? Fancy a pillar of fire? Whoa, how famous is God going to get? The whole world's going to know. It says in the Psalms that all the nations will turn and remember that you are God. His vision, his dream is cataclysmic, it's excessive, it's beyond our wildest dreams. Whoa. I welcome the interruption. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it come. Interrupt us, Lord. Interrupt me. Interrupt me. Interruption on the road. I like the fact with Ezekiel, God just interrupted him at the river with his friends. And he saw the burning man with the wheels. Daniel, the same. He interrupted him by the river, and there was a levitating man. And he fell like dead. John was on the Isle of Patmos praying in the spirit, and there was a trumpet sound and an interruption. Get ready for interruptions. Get ready for the knock at the door. Get ready for Gabriel. Get ready for angels. Get ready for seraphim. Get ready for clouds of his presence. Get ready for things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, what God has prepared. But he has revealed it to us through his spirit. A couple of years ago, they filmed an angel walking through a hospital corridor. You can see it on the internet, caught on camera. A light being walking. These are days where it says the glory will be seen. The glory will be seen upon you. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. And this glory will be seen upon you. And nations will come to the brightness of your rising. This isn't a day of the hidden God. This is the day of God of the breakthrough. Baal Perazim, that's one of his names. God of the breakthrough. In Micah, it talks about him being God of the breakthrough. God of the breakout. Baal Perazim. Whoa. Sometimes, God shows up and interrupts because he has to. And the forced change is here. Forced change is coming on you. Forced change is here on these islands. Forced change is on Europe. Forced change is on those banks. Now, the Lord showed me the banks were meant to be rooted in justice. A lot of them, like Barclays, Lloyds, they were birthed out of Christians forming funds to help people become wealthy and feed the poor. They've forgotten what they're about. They've forgotten that they need a divine interruption. They think that they're about bread. They're following him for bread, but it's about him being the bread, that he is the one that came down from heaven, and he's interrupting it to say, drink my blood and eat my body once more, because I am the fountain and the source of all wealth. And I can give wealth and I can take away wealth, for the silver and gold are mine. Every banker is a steward of someone else's wealth. They've been acting as if it's theirs. They've been profiting from other people's money and from his gold. And he's interrupted it, but they did not listen. The Barclays director was called before the committee at Parliament. And he said it was time for the nation to get over it. Move on, he said. They didn't admit their mistake. Soon after that, we've seen the mass corruption that Barclays, which was birthed out of God's will, has been fixing prices on an international scale and actually doing forgery on a multi-million, possibly billion-pound scale. And just prior to that, the managing director, or whatever his role was saying, get over it. Stop pointing at the banks. Stop blaming the banks. The banks have been given billions and billions of pounds in quantitative easing, so they've capitalized up to the max. If you look at the capital that they've got, they've only released like a couple of percent of what they've had. So all that money has gone into their storehouses when the nation needs, like small businesses need to be lent to. People need to have easy overdrafts. They need to have wealth easily accessible at low cost wealth. Money needs to be pumped into the economy and they're storing it up. So God is going to judge it again. Okay? I don't know when it's going to happen. He told me this one was going to happen. He's told me it's going to hit. He's going to hit it harder. I think it might take 10 years for this to happen, but the banking system is going on a major corrective cycle with God. There is going to be a massive divine interruption, and the wealth of the seas is going to start to shift, but it starts to shift to people that will take responsibility. Authority comes on those who take responsibility. So someone's got to get over their selfishness right now. Someone's got to get over themselves enough to be trusted with wealth. Because the wealth of the seas are going to come, and the wealth of the seas is vast. And yet, if we're still living for our daily necessity, I am embarrassed at all of the... There's lots of doom and gloom prophecies going on right now, which are all true. Okay, we're living in times of tension. We're living in times where there's going to be awful stuff happening. And like, I could talk about that for ages, but I won't, because I don't want to. But there's going to be awesome glory. Okay? Now, the people that are seeing the doom and gloom through their spectacles, saying you've got to hoard up money, you've got to, you know, take out money, you've got to have food ready, that's still living according to your means. That means you are your supplier. That means you've chosen to trade unlimited supply for limited supply. I remember when the 2000 bug was coming, you know, and everybody thought the computer systems were going to go down. And I was in Asda's and I bought these big things of water, and just as I got to the till, God said, that's not the way. That ain't the way. I put them back and I said, God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. We cannot live any longer out of the earth realm. Earth level Christianity is dying its last breath. If you feel like you're dying, it's because we're going, the ship's going down. You are dying. This era is dying. This era of powerlessness is dying. This era of no signs and wonders is dying. We're having a day where he's going to blur the boundary. He could feed you with one wafer from an angel and you not need to eat for 40 days. He could give you one jar that fills constantly everybody else's water jars. It's a day where we're going to realize it's real. Heaven's real. Jesus is real. Everything we've been taught is real. It's just for a season it was hidden, but now it will be revealed once more. We're in the day of the apocalypse. The apocalypse means, all it means is a scary word. Everybody thinks apocalyptic. If you know what it actually means, it means the revealing. That's all the word means. We've turned it into this scary thing. All it means is the curtain's coming back and we're going to see it. 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 We're going to see Baal Perazim, God of the interruption, God on display, God of wonders, God of miracles, God of power, God of glory. And if he has to shake our money, shake our money. If he has to shake us, do you know what's going to produce such community? Out of the death of the old, community is going to rise. Do you know what? Antidepressants will not get you out of depression the same way that community will. Have you ever had a downer and you meet with a mate and you have a chin wag and you feel great? It's like you popped a whole bunch of pills, man. God designed there to be a supply on community. God is creating mystic hubs, centers of government, the government shifting into the suns. There's a day of justice coming, it says, where the weight is put in the balance of those of the kingdom, where it's a day of justice and payback sevenfold, where he shakes everything and he's saying, wake up, shape up, I'm interrupting you. It's like those tango adverts from years ago, where that suddenly this orange guy, for people that might be listening on podcasts afterwards, I apologize if you don't know what we're talking about, but the tango orange man would come along, wouldn't he? And just like, they would be drinking a can and he'd like to go, And they would be like, whoa. And it'd say, you've been tangoed. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about right now. Always look on the bright side of life. Monty Python were right, I think. It's all a matter of perspective. There's only one thing we're meant to dread. The Bible says, dread God. In Isaiah says, do you not tremble? Knowing the kindness and severity of God. It says they will fear him and his goodness in the last days. The fear of the Lord is ecstasy. Jesus delighted in the fear of God. There's going to be signs and wonders performed in front of you. They're going to freak you out. I remember one time praying for this woman in Denmark and she shook, she shimmied. And it's so offensive even to me to say this because I was so, could not believe what I saw. But gold dust flew out of her body like a fountain. If you'd recorded it and slowed it down, it would have been like a spray. Coming from her front to back and just fell on the ground. And I could not believe what I saw. I thought she'd shook so hard, the fabric of her top had flown off. So the interruption's only just begun. Ring in the bells. Ring in. One time the Lord spoke to me, said it's an emergency and there's an urgency in the emergency. And he started using bells and fire alarms and stuff. And one morning I was going to get up and pray at like 5 o'clock, I think it was. And I didn't set my alarm, actually. I said, God, can you wake me? And at 5 to 5, every alarm in our street went off. Every single burglar alarm. The smoke alarm went off. At the time, we owned another house in the same street, so I didn't know what was going on. I ran out. I put my clothes on, ran down the stairs, opened my door, stepped outside, every alarm stopped. And he said, I got you up. I got your attention. There was consequences for God getting my attention. The consequences were everybody's alarm went off in the street. Just our street. Everybody that had a burglar alarm. Do you believe such things? I've seen such things. God is going to he is so passionate about his bride that he's interrupting, the alarms are sounding to wake you up, but the consequences are affecting everybody. There is a spirit of awakening coming on the church right now. The whole earth has been overshadowed by Holy Spirit like it was at the beginning. He is brooding over the formlessness and voidness, and soon there will be a voice that speaks, let there be light. And out of the gross darkness, there's the lack of government on the earth, because in the spirit already looks dark. People say it's going to get darker and darker. It's already dark if you look in the spirit, because there's no light, because government causes light. As we walk in the light, as he is in the light. And when you see the places of government that are in right order, they look like bright white mountains. Heaven looks like a shimmering orb with a rotating, well, the whole thing is awesome. And it's all because of government. He is going to release the government of God on the earth. Isaiah saw it, he said that he was going to plant the heavens on the foundation of the earth. It's a violent, violent move of the Spirit that's coming. He doesn't need permission when he chooses to move. I know I said earlier he makes you powerful, but there are times where it says in Isaiah, he acts and who can reverse it? When God decides it's time, it's time. So the decision that we have to say is, why are we alive now? If God chose when you would live and where you would live, what are you going to do about the fact that he chose the exact moment? I've seen this in the books of destiny in the library room. They're all intricately woven together. Not only did he weave your family line in the spirit looks like, I think it looks like seaweed. You can see it like spreading out from like a hub. And it's all the nodules of your great-great-grandparents and all these other people. And as you look at it, they open up and you begin to get revelations about different parts of your family. But the thing that amazes you is that God set up all these interconnected relationships. And they all overlap in these books. Every book overlaps with one another because he chose interconnection between people. And he chose where you would live and when. When you see it there, I'm telling you with mere human words, lacking eloquence to explain something that I've seen in the spirit, is that you are the right age at the right time in the right place. If you don't believe that, you don't believe in the sovereignty of God. You don't believe that all the good works were foreordained, that every word was written before they came to be, that we came to fulfill the good works that were prepared in advance for us to do. We don't believe that he chose where we would live and when we would live so that we would seek him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. Acts says, he ordained that you would be here tonight. He ordained that you'd be hearing this message tonight for purpose, to awaken something in you about the uniqueness of who you are and what you're supposed to carry upon the earth. Because not one of you is demeaned by heaven. Not one of you is unimportant. In fact, you're kings and queens from a future that's been brought into the past to show it what the future looks like. If you don't believe that, you haven't seen the future. You haven't seen who you are. That you're being conformed fully into the image and the likeness of God. The human spirit has an infinite capacity to grow in the same way that God is infinite. We have an infinite capacity to grow in the knowledge and wisdom of God for eons to come. And you are made for glory. You are made to be God seen. Angels are not God seen. They're the unseen spirituals. Animals are natural seen. You are God seen. You're a combination of both dimensions, but you're not even a combination of the present. You're a combination of the past, present, and future because he put eternity in your heart. If you believe that, you'll begin to live out of the transcendency of the eternal realm. And the greatest invitation that's going on right now is to come into his world and see it from his perspective. Come up here and see what must soon take place. Pursue with diligence the consequence of your co-inclusion with Christ. It says that we've been wrapped up together with Christ in God. So it says in Colossians 3, relocate yourself mentally. Have you relocated yourself mentally? Or are you living in 2012 in Britain? Are you a citizen of Britain? If I look you in the spirit, do I see the government of the Queen or do I see the government of the King? Well, I'm not trying to be nasty. Am I being nasty tonight? Is this a nasty word? Wake up, you ancient doors. Wake up to the ancient paths. You were born beyond this world. You're a little bit of another world that's been planted on the earth to show the earth what that world is. The move of the Spirit that's being released on the earth right now has never been seen before. Just let that sink in. We are going into completely unknown territory. There is not a context in any revival for what even is going on right now. There's not. Study your revival history. You cannot find a global awakening like is happening in the hearts of people where they're moving in the spirit, being visited by angels, signs and wonders, kids having these incredible encounters. People are hungry. People are connected together. They're connecting beyond church. They're finding each other. There's like an appetite for God that he's created to create tension and space for him to fill. There's like an awakening spirit overshadowing this generation. And we've never seen a global church before. This is the most global community there is. Do you realize that? That as God begins to move amongst this body, the whole world's going to shift. He's looking for shifters. He's looking for hubs. He's looking for cogs that turn. He's looking for wheels within wheels. People that will cause the movement. People that will synchronize with the clockwork of heaven and come into alignment to cause a convergence. Wow. I've decided I'm living for that one thing. I am living for wildfire revival. Because that revival was birthed, wildfire was birthed at Pentecost, and there's been people that have held the flame, but it's time for the whole world to see what it looks like. Jesus put it like this: I came to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. So when Jesus came, he was saying, I've seen this. And I wish it was happening right now. When Jesus went, it said he will return in the same way that he left. How did Jesus leave? Over a period of 40 days, appearing and disappearing, teaching them of the things of the kingdom. Jesus is coming before he comes. But will he find faith on the earth when he comes? I pray that he will. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. Everybody okay? Heavy, heavy word. Good word. Challenging, but I'm just pointing out what's already happening. The sign points to something. Do you see the sign or what the sign points to? Do you see the interruption or the purpose of the interruption? Because we're being interrupted. Amen. I'm done, guys. I'm done.